Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Pretty much everything, I'd say. We are here with Elizabeth Sullivan. She is a writer, Ayurveda practitioner, energy worker, yoga therapist, all around a magical soul. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get on this adventure of life and get here today?
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Kelly. And thanks, Joan, for being here. I really ended up diving into the self-healing practices because I got curious about my own body and how it was presenting in this lifetime. One of the kind of presentations that I had in my adulthood as I was having my kids was alopecia, which from a Western standpoint is unexplained hair loss, but from a different perspective, it can lead you into some of the most magical spaces and places that if, as I became willing to do my own self-healing work and journey, drew out more of my authenticity and abilities.
Wow.
How's that for a succinct answer?
I love it. I don't even know where to go after that.
There's so much more to go there.
Well, and I want to let everybody know, again, we're on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And we interviewed Joan earlier in the day. So as everyone knows, we pre-record our shows until we're ready to go live, which is coming down the pipeline. And Joan was walking out the door and we're like, Joan, stay to play with Elizabeth. So I invite you to just be curious and pipe in. And
oh, don't so give gonna, me permission. Curiosity is my jam.
We are giving
mine
you permission.
Too. So, and we are delighted that Joan said yes to our invitation.
And by the way, Brian, we all are wearing the same pair of shoes. Like, you can't make
no
that
way.
Up. We are all wearing the same shoes.
That's
different
what
colors.
Finally decided
wow.
that I was going to stay
yes,
because I had
look.
The matching shoes, so I had to stay.
Different colors.
Wow.
Okay, we're a little different. You can't make that up, though.
You guys are May sisters, spring sisters.
And we're not That's mowing awesome. Our lawns, either.
No, I got a lot of dandelions.
Yep.
Yay!
And I have a really good friend who is all about the dandelions.
Yeah, you know what? It's easy.
That would be a good t-shirt.
Oh, she, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Her name's Susan Weibel. She does a lot of, like, products that are made from scratch that are in different local stores in the Minnesota area.
Very cool.
Give a call out to her. Say hello. Give her a little.
So, Susan, like, you're doing amazing work and keep it up. And, yeah, if you're looking for natural deodorants or sunscreen this summer or spring, you can find her products in many local stores. And I wish I knew the names of some of them at this moment, but I'll get back to you and you can post it.
We'll find them.
We need to do something on sunscreens because that, I mean, all natural.
That's been a big topic.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, I feel gross when I have sunscreens.
Well, it's blocking your body's, I mean, our body, like, the word human actually translates into light being, and we want to, you know, shift our frequencies mm-hmm. and play with our vibration, right?
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to absorb the most light you can, both in terms of sunlight, because we have inner suns and inner moons, but also in terms of what we eat. So what we watch, anything we digest, we want it to transform and shift our light and turn it on. So if we aren't thinking of how we ingest or experience light in our systems and our human being and our humanness, we're not stepping into the fullest potential we can as humans. Well, this making sense?
You're saying that sunlight is important, and to block it is really blocking something that it's feeding us.
Right, and to find out, you know, I'm not saying, like, you know, go out and roast yourself, but I am saying that
we're talking about balance.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's not take it too far here, right?
Right.
It's like I think what you're saying here, and you're absolutely correct, is it's not about going out into the sun and just getting roasted and getting blistered, and that's just silly.
That's harming.
Yeah. But to actually go out and experience the sun and let it come into your world in a healthy way is awesome. And we're also saying that there's this narrative that has been told for however long about sunscreen and Banana Boat and these various companies. And I think there's going to be some pretty tragic evidence that comes out. Maybe it's already out about the chemicals and the damage that these types of products have done for decades and now generations of people. Do you have insight into that, Elizabeth, at all?
I mean, a little. It's not my area fully of expertise, but I can talk. I mean, part of it. So I'll talk. Basically, the skin is our largest sense organ, right? And it absorbs information. It absorbs nutrients. And part of that is having good vitamin D and that connection to the sun. And then there is, like, if we're blocking our connection to the sunlight, that also affects our circadian rhythm. And so our ability to rest, digest, and experience the fullness of our life so that we can be more present in the now. The ingredients in some of the sunscreen, you definitely want to be reading labels of anything you're going to put into your body, no matter what it is. And, you know, I know I had another colleague who worked on sunscreen stuff, and there was a lot of, like, nanotechnology going into it and other things that it's not the best thing for us. So if we're going to use sunscreen, I think, you know, figure out what's in it, and the more, like, closer to ingredients your body can digest, the better, because we have a metabolism that we need to honor. And then consciously, you know, take some time in the sun and feel what is the right amount of time for you each day, because that helps set up your rhythm of, you know, waking, resting, sleeping. That is so necessary for good energy.
Elizabeth, what do you think about there's so many kind of basic products that a lot of people use every day, like, let's say, sunscreen, body wash or lotion, you know, detergents, dryer sheets,
hairspray, bug spray.
And there's some seriously, like, questionable things in a lot of these very basic products that people are using every day. Is part of your agenda to educate people on, you know, products or things in their home, or do you work kind of more just in the energetic and, you know, what field are you working in mostly?
Because you dabble in a lot of different modalities.
So a few things on what you're asking me here, Brian and Kelly and Joan, feel free to weigh in on this, but everything has consciousness in a vibratory state. And so, like, in terms of, like, the food we eat, to the products we put on our body, to the products we use to clean our clothes and our house, and the more conscious we are about what ingredients are going in, the more it supports our own consciousness inside of ourselves, being at a higher vibratory state aligned with love, which is where we are moving as a collective, and it's why we're seeing sort of the underbellies of the places that we have been out of alignment and are being asked to come into alignment on. And so one of the things that I'll work with people, you know, my hope is always that people learn how to, like, our bodies are way more powerful than we've been told.
Amen.
Yay.
That's a big amen on that.
Yeah.
There's some positive news for everyone today. How about that?
And we have the ability, the greatest ability, to self-heal. And so remove the toxins, remove the cause that are keeping you in a state of imbalance, and step into your fullest potential of self-healing. That is one of my like greatest hopes for the people I work with, the people I know and love. And so we'll look at, you know, those daily routines. Like, what are you putting on your body in the morning? What are you putting on your body in the evening? How is that affecting your consciousness? But, you know, it was really funny before we started this show. Joan, I was telling, you know, we were kind of riffing about what we were, some of the things we were hoping to share. And Joan shared on her lock screen. Go ahead.
Yeah. Your body's ability to heal is greater than anyone has led you to believe. Again, going back to the culture is saying, like, no, you need outside help with that. It's like your body doesn't ask for outside help when it has a cut, when you have a cold. You know, it has an innate healing system. And I always tell each of my grandchildren when they get hurt, I said, remember, you are a healer. I want that to be in their soul. You are a healer. You know, so I just underscore everything you said.
And the more we listen, go ahead, sorry.
No, no, I just, there is a basic truth that is actually, I think, even more literal, which is that our bodies are actually always in a state of healing, and our body's actual most fundamental, foundational action is to be in a state of healing.
And it's always seeking that.
It's always to that end. And it's our, we were talking about this with Joan earlier. It's remembering who we are and having the courage to step into actually the self-discovery of what are the ingredients that I want to put in my body today that are going to serve it to be in a state of healing at an optimal level. And I think people can't even comprehend that they could actually live optimally.
Absolutely.
But that's available. Yeah.
Absolutely. You totally hit that on the heart.
So how would you say it in your way and in your methodology around optimal living?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look different for each person, right? Because of our unique gifts and talents and what we're here to do on the planet as we work collectively together toward shifting into those higher frequencies aligned with love. But I feel like it requires us to listen to our body, so we're having a dialogue with our body, not a monologue.
That's great.
Because a lot of times, you know, our body may be whispering to us, and yet we might blow past it. I know I did for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's not blow past the weight of those words right there, because I've actually never heard someone say that. So let's make sure we keep that. Let's not have a monologue with ourselves. Let's have a dialogue. That was beautifully said.
Brian's taking
Love
notes.
That. Yeah. Do I have your permission to use that? I'm going to use that like today.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I think I actually learned that from one of my teachers too. So, you know, to all the teachers that continue to share wisdom, you know, past, present, future. Absolutely.
You know, people are always looking, Elizabeth, for people love numbers and they love ratings and all those types of things. So do you have a top three daily practice that if people stepped into and it felt right for them that you could say, hey, try this out, see if it works for you?
Because you come in with so many different modalities. So it's really, and I'm very curious on what your top three is.
You're giving me a challenge here because so often it's like, what's the just right stimulus for the person before me that is going to get them going, right, on their self-healing journey? And obviously, don't take my words for it. I want people to have their own direct experience.
That's brilliant. I mean, yeah.
But here's the world the deal, is so right, dogmatic. Elizabeth, you never know who's out in the audience today that's going to resonate with what you say.
All right.
And if that opens the door to them,
I'll give you three. One is pay attention to the state you go to bed in. It often has an echo in how you rise. Yeah?
Yeah. Give us an example of that.
So if I'm going to bed and I have some unresolved anger and I don't take a moment to energetically clear that or emotionally clear that, I'll wake up with kind of like a heavier residence.
So what does that look like, the emotional clearing, the energetic clearing?
I might ask my, I'll say something like, you know, I'll ask my higher self and my optimal spirit guides aligned with my highest good, truth, and source to show me how I can optimally release that feeling and understand it so that I'm not just suppressing the emotion back into my tissues, because the issues live in our tissues, but I am digesting it. And then using the sleep period, if we go to bed by 10, we have a second digestion that happens that actually helps cleanse the tissues and the organs and our mental field. So that would be my second tip.
That's beautiful. We've got number one, and we're going to come back with at least a couple more. But I love what you said there. It's really about being conscious, having a conversation. So we will be right back. This is Being Curious with Brian and Kelly, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome back.
Woohoo!
Let's go. The energy is pretty, pretty vibrational right now, I'd say, all the way here to Boston.
And I'm wearing a Boston hat there. Ooh. I didn't even know you were in Boston.
I was about to bring that up.
Okay, so we're here with Elizabeth Sullivan today. We asked her her top three things she does on a daily basis. And it's interesting. We're now on Facebook Live. So when we're recording, so anybody that got to see kind of our behind the scenes is going to be flowing with us on this. But bring us back, Joan, to tucking people in bed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Elizabeth was just saying one of the first things is make certain that you feel like clear emotionally when you go to bed. So you rise, you know, lighter and more vibrationally present. And I was thinking, like, for years, I would do the news at 10 o'clock and I ended up quitting. And one of the reasons I quit, I always said that I was tucking people in at night with a blanket of fear and it didn't feel good to me. And you've given me another reason why that was not a good thing, you know? My prescription would be don't watch the news before you go to bed. I mean, gather in information that you want, but that's a lot for your body to process, I would think, having watched a half an hour of what isn't always good news, what is rarely good news.
So we're going to go back energetically when you made that decision, and we're going to Joan 20 years ago or 21 years ago, and we're all of us, including our listeners, are going to come back and just say good job.
Oh,
yeah. Right? Because you did a very courageous.
Thank you.
So going back and saying good for you. So as you're making that decision but you're feeling that, you now have this like beautiful crowd of thousands of people saying good for you, Joan.
Thank you.
And
instead of saying, why did you do that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we could also even see like a, you know, beautiful bringing us back to that point where Joan makes that decision. And probably your optimal future self was saying, hey, Joan, hop off.
Exactly.
And I like to think that we all have these optimal future selves that are like pulling us down our life path, saying like, come on, you can do this. You can be brave. You can make those authentic moments where you feel a misalignment between what you're doing and the words, and you bring yourself back into alignment, like back into that strong midline that allows us to be functional, vibrant beings of light. So, bravo.
Yay! Yay, me.
We're giving high fives in the studio.
Yeah, we're giving high fives in the studio.
Virtual high five
over to Boston.
So, I love that suggestion.
And I would say to Joan's point and your wisdom and intuition and awareness of that moment, like, you are ahead of your time, one. Mm. And two, there's a reason that news is on at poignant points of the day. Mm-hmm. So the most poignant points of shifts of consciousness of the day are dawn and dusk, and then noon and midnight. Now, hopefully we're resting and digesting, but those are poignant times to do practices for ourselves because the macrocosm of the day is shifting, right?
Yeah.
And our consciousness is also shifting.
Mm.
And so if we are, instead of tuning into ourselves and doing practices that nourish our state of frequency and being and vibratory state, if we're doing practices at dawn and dusk that actually tune us into ourselves and and say, yep, you're in a state of healing. I'm going to do more that allows me to heal. Then we are amplifying that. If we sit down and we watch the news at those times and give away our consciousness to the news, it's not that I don't want people awake in the world. It's not that we shouldn't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. But if we do that, it colors our consciousness. And at an undercurrent, that is what we're riding, even if we shift out. Like, it's coloring and imprinting different parts of us. And so I might feel fearful after reading that. And then I try to go to bed and my dreams turn and twist throughout the night, or, you know, whatever might be the case.
But maybe not even news. Let's talk about, you know, you can watch on YouTube and yes, all these different, like,
now there's a plethora. Or,
right? There's a plethora. So it is, right. I mean, I can't watch scary movies before bed or something serious. My family makes fun of me because I want to watch just something cheery and happy and very high vibration. And they want something serious. And I just am like, I don't have the capacity at the end of the night to even be watching that.
That's so cool that you know that and that you do that. But it is negated in our culture. You know, it's like, light, airy, fairy, you know, that stuff.
I think it's worth taking a very serious moment to actually qualify what Elizabeth has brought to this conversation, which is that the way that I've best understood it is that most human beings learn their first language through auditory receiving and response, right? Mm-hmm. That's we actually, like, think about how amazing our brains are. We go from this thing that can barely open its eyes to all of a sudden listening and hearing and then being able to form a language that then can be sent and received and we can have a conversation, right? And so think about how powerful our brain is, and now translate that to your environment every single day. That's how serious it is, the content that you're bringing into your body, that you're actually listening to every single day. That the same way that when you were a child and your brain wrote the program, okay, English language or French language or whatever, mm-hmm. your body is actually listening and writing programs into your brain. And if you're not careful, there could be a program running your life that is negative, disaster focused. I mean, people think like, well, why do these bad things keep happening? Well, if you're watching the news every day and your entire program in your brain is like, accidents always happen and all these terrible things always happen,
you're gonna attract it.
I'm so happy we're having this conversation, because to your point, Elizabeth, about one of the most fundamental practices you do, it's like, when do a lot of those programs really get infused? Is mm-hmm. at night.
Absolutely.
Is when we have those moments of silence and your body's taking in everything that happened during the day. So,
and
kudos to you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Even if nobody does anything else and just changes that one thing, that can have a huge shift.
It's almost like everyone's carrying shopping bags and you just need to put the shopping bags down for the night. Right. Clear them out. You can pick whatever you want up to tomorrow. It's all good.
Yeah.
Well, we're... And what are we consciously picking up and putting down? Mm. You know, like, so starting to, like...
And sift, is it yours?
And is it ours? And even, like, when I was in grad school, I worked in hospice for a while, and one of the last senses, Brian, to leave when we're transitioning from one state to another, right, because that's what death is one state to another, is the auditory. Mm-hmm. So after all the senses are closing down... in that transformation that we named as death. And the last sense, the lightest, most subtle sense, is hearing and sound. Yeah. And that is one of the last things to leave. So even when someone's more unresponsive, they can still hear. And the vibration of our sound, whether it's music, voice, I don't know, sounds of nature, you know, matter. So
think about how many people sleep with the TV on.
And what's that really about?
I had a niece who
I think
to
it's
sleep
distraction
with. Yeah
and what I are we trying people, to distract ourselves from Like, this is where I get...
From finding out who we really are.
Right. I get so curious about this. Like, often, you know, we... So I tend to see people who have, like, tried lots of things out, and then they come and see me, right? And part of it is, like... Part of
you just said the, and all the room just got full. I'm just like, woo!
Sorry, Kelly.
So, by the way, it's a good thing. People who aren't watching or aren't in the know, Kelly sees very real things and energetics and spirits. So when she does that, it's because she's actually seeing these angels and guides. I'm used to it because it happens literally every time we talk. But just so that people know what's happening.
Right. Kelly just like her hands went pop, 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 like fireworks.
Sorry to interrupt, but the stadium seating got in the way.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, I see, feel, hear, so I get it. But you see a lot.
You had flow going and it was beautiful. And then I was like, ooh, 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 squirrel moment. Squirrel.
Okay. Let me see if I can pull the squirrel back. What?
Oh, she just said squirrel. The name of my company is Look a Bird. It's like, please, God, help me to focus. Look, a bird.
I love it. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, now we're on a completely different tangent.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all you.
So I was starting to say that a lot of times people come to see me after they have tried many different things out. And what I get curious about, I can trace back where we were, you know, people sleeping with TVs on and what they're distracted about their own brilliance and finding out their authenticity, because we have to follow. I mean, part of what yoga and Ayurveda and energy work helps us do is to trace moment by moment so you can retrace moment by moment and clean up what you need to clean up.
Wow.
So here we are, and people will come, and they're often running from their own unconscious and or conscious triggers and traumas. And so here, what if we took those triggers and traumas that have happened to us that we might have great shame about, you know, feeling like, oh, that shouldn't have happened to me if I had done X or Y or, you know, mm-hmm. or I felt so bad, or I was told never to tell someone. Mm. I mean, insert all the things that can happen with triggers and traumas. But what if we're brave enough and we believe that our body is always in a state of self-healing, to Brian's point, mm-hmm. and that our body is more powerful than we've been led to believe, and that we can heal as individuals and as a collective without self-sacrificing our bodies? And what if those triggers and traumas are actually our treasures, are actually going to lead us back into our wholeness? And yeah, it's difficult work, and yeah, it's sometimes sticky and painful work, and it's not all rainbows and unicorns. But what if we heal those so that when fear pops in the collective, we're not as easy to be controlled? When fear pops in the collective or within one of us, we can give ourselves a pause instead of that reactive state that often we have to clean up.
Yeah.
But instead of being responsive or reactive, and there is a time and a place for reaction. Mm-hmm. But often if we want to be skillful, we want to be responsive. And if there are triggers and traumas that are running us, you know, that either... that we're brave enough to look at, it leaves, the traumas and triggers leave, and our consciousness, which is total light, you know, we put the coloring on our consciousness because of our ancestral patterns or our belief systems or our karma or our trauma or our emotions, but that consciousness gets to come back and take a seat in the body instead of the trauma or the trigger that's been taken up a lot of space, and we might be living in our peripherals.
When you said that, it just felt so expansive, you know, to be able, you know, to,
I mean, that's,
to move out
that's
the blocks.
The essence of all of it right there. It's like, it's in that moment of being a human being, having traumas, having things that happen, we've all got stuff, and the difference between acknowledging that you're human and those things have happened and having the courage to get into it and start to see more clearly as a result of understanding why you are the way that you are. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage, but what ultimately is possible is that when something triggers you, you can have a moment of choice. Mm-hmm. And if more mm-hmm. people had that moment of choice before reacting, wow.
And not only
there'd
a moment.
There'd probably be a lot more kindness happening.
100%. And more kindness to ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because not only do we have more choice, but going back to the title even of your show, if we can be curious about our triggers mm-hmm. and we can start to trace them back, we find ourselves again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only one it benefits, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say the only one it benefits for us not to heal our own triggers and traumas are any of the people who did that to us.
Explain that.
Yeah, you got to explain that. And unfortunately, we are about to go into the second. No, no, no. But like, I'm like, okay.
I'm not saying anything because there's so much to go there.
And then another thing that I want to leave us with is we've talking about being courageous. How do we help people that are living in fear become courageous or being curious about becoming courageous? Because once you jump off that cliff, it's beautiful, but it's getting there. Okay, you guys. Ha ha! My gosh, I can't wait for the next segment. This is the Being Curious Show with Kelly and Brian, AM 950. I am the publisher of Edge Magazine, edgemagazine.net, and I am honored to be here, and I'm honored to be here with all of you. You guys, this is going to be a fun one. Talk to you soon.
Welcome back. Woo. We are vibrating here with an incredible conversation. We are so just honored to have Elizabeth Sullivan with us. We have, of course, Brian and Kelly. We have Joan. I hope everyone listened to Joan's interview already. It was freaking fantastic. So let's just dive right back in. We are looking at this conversation around maybe how, if someone's out there and they're going, this is all kind of new information to me.
Right.
What's the invitation? What's maybe that first step, Elizabeth, in your own experience or what you've read or learned?
Because it's overwhelming.
Okay. Let me try to simplify it a bit and you guys can help me maybe. But I will say the past paradigm of the collective seems, if we wanted to stay in a state of victimhood, that kind of pulls us out of our self-healing mm-hmm. because we're attached to that current and it keeps a larger polarity going between victim and perpetrator.
Yeah.
And if we look at what's been going on the planet, is that paradigm is shifting. And if we step into, we have the ability to self-heal, and our bodies are more powerful than we've ever given them credit to, mm-hmm. then, you know, and we step out of that paradigm a bit and realize that we can survive, even thrive, that's a very different space. So for me, where I got curious is like, why is my alopecia presenting? You know, like, I went to some of the best places. I went to Mayo. I mean, I went to some of the best top people in the country. The only one that could really start to answer that question was me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the issues are in our tissues, and if our tissues are this representation of our body, which is the densest form of energy, and not just all the energy that Kelly's witnessing in the studio, then we get to get curious and have that dialogue with ourselves. And sometimes we need the support of practitioners or people or loved ones. And sometimes we need the space and the bravery to take that inward journey. And sometimes it's both and.
I think that's such a good point. If I were just to kind of speak from my own experience, it's like I would encourage people to not do it alone.
Absolutely.
That was a huge step in the right direction for me, to not do it alone, to seek out a practitioner or a friend or a mentor to help open that door. And also to, I think one of the most beautiful parts about being human is imperfection. Mm. And I think people want to, like, you know, get on a 30-day program, whether it's for diet or happiness or whatever, and they just are like prescribing an outcome to themselves. And if they don't achieve it, it's a failure. And that just creates a whole other negative cycle that's actually then imprinted and deepened in your own DNA. And then that just repeats itself out potentially for a lifetime. Whereas if you have ever, you know, eaten good food, or maybe started practicing meditation, or gotten into a new relationship with someone that really lights you up, and then you look at the things that started to happen in your life, and then 5 years goes down the road, but you actually reflect and go, wow, that 2-week period where I really gave myself some love, I got that job that I was really looking for like a month later.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in the experience of being alive with everything going on, it's hard to keep track of all that.
Mm-hmm.
But if people just simply will have enough courage to take one step in the right direction and then not be so self-diagnosing in a negative way on what success is or what accomplishment is, and start having that dialogue, to your point earlier, around, am I happy? What makes me happy? There's a great question for us all to ask. What actually makes me happy? Because I think a lot of people are like, well, the magazine's telling me that the six pack is what's going to make me happy. But does that actually make me happy? I'm not so sure.
I got good news on that one, but yeah, go ahead.
No, please, I want to know.
The good news on the six-pack is from a somatic point of view, which is how our muscles and nervous system work. A six-pack on one side is overly strong, and on the underside, it's overly weak. So you want to learn to contract that six-pack and then lengthen that six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Oh, that's my problem.
My quest for a six-pack.
Oh my gosh. But I know that wasn't the point of what you were just bringing forward, Brian.
No, I love that, though. It just helps, like, solve one of those things. Everyone has these ideals, and it's like, I think that's a really important point, Elizabeth. It's like inviting everyone to just take a deeper dive. Like, if you hear something or you read something, maybe don't take it on face value. Like, do some of your own research.
Yeah.
You know, talk to some different people who might have different perspectives on something. That's kind of a cool one.
So how do you help people go from curiosity to being courageous and looking in the mirror? Because I know you work with a lot of different people with a lot of different needs, desires, goals, etc.
I think one of the great invitations before us and is like, how do we take small steps? Yeah. So you don't have to like drink it whole all at once, but how do we take small steps and, you know, start to get curious about like whatever is presenting in your body or in your mind? And, you know, there are four things you can ask when something presents, but is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And is it the right time?
Mm-hmm. Those are great questions.
Those are great questions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
And
that should be a little card, you know, like a little laminated card. Mm-hmm. That would be a good app.
It would be a good app. It's you know, those first three are the Sufi, I believe, Sufi gates, if I'm recalling the source accurately. And then the fourth one is, I think, just as important as the first three, because sometimes it's not the right timing to bring something forward.
Would you mind saying them quickly again?
Yeah.
Just because
is it true?
Is it true?
Is it kind?
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary? And is it the right timing?
Wow. Those are great.
Do all four have to be answered with a yes to be able to do that? Or could, because, like, is it kind? Well, we could be some latitude with kindness, but if everything else is a yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Are you pretty much like, it needs
truth
to be aligned?
Truth and kindness kind of are co-ingredients, like going back to, we were talking about ingredients in our first segment, and Brian, you brought that forward again. You can make a cake with a cup of salt or a cup of sugar. The cake will look pretty similar, but it will taste very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we want the ingredients of kindness and truth to alchemize because it's less cleanup for us often.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah, I think there is kind of a, not to use both words again, but like a fundamental truth about kindness. Mm-hmm. Yes, culturally, we could go, or I could go somewhere in the world and someone could do something to someone and I would go, whoa, that seems violent or weird or something. And it could be a total act of kindness and compassion and love. So there's some variety there, but I think in our experience of being human, almost even in the worst of cases, most people do have that ability to understand what kindness is, and comprehend, okay, that was a kind thing to do or not. And of course, we could go down the rabbit hole of psychology and things of that nature, but just on a kind of basic principle.
Absolutely. And I think people feel the intent often because we are sentient beings. It's one of our superpowers. And the more we, you know, to go back to Kelly's question of like, what's one thing you do with people? And to your point, Brian, around like the DNA pattern getting repeating and can go on for a whole lifetime, is that one of the intents, if we're cleaning our emotions from those traumas and triggers, then they're not bubbling under the surface, so they don't get triggered and we don't have such a harsh reaction to what's before us in the now moment. And sometimes, Kelly, it's easier to start with healing our ancestry than it is in our first, in our present life. Like, so if there's addiction in our ancestry, sometimes it's easier to start with some of the healing protocols and processes to heal our ancestry and then to look at our own addiction patterns in this life.
Well, that is a beautiful segue to the classes that you're going to be teaching.
Yeah.
Very, very, very soon. But, okay, hold on. Brian wants to...
No, I'm saying go there.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, because you just like the ancestors and other lifetimes. And so tell us about some of the classes that you're going to be working on, because that is really powerful, because sometimes when we are trying to deal with issues in this lifetime, in this vessel, we're carrying stuff that's not even ours. And it could be 14 generations back on either side. And when you start, is it 20 generations back we're all connected?
15, I believe.
Right. So tell us about
we're always learning more about epigenetics and how that influences our genes and our DNA, yeah?
That's astounding, though.
I know, yeah. Isn't that?
So, yeah, Kelly's bringing forward. I teach a series of energy classes that Kelly also knows, and we learned from Maureen Higgins. And I've been teaching them for probably the last 3 or 4 years, and I have a new, you know, it goes from, you know, entry level to like level one, level two, level three. And I'm starting level one again in the fall, that it starts with developing your intuition, because we've been told not to pay attention to our intuition, and yet we have it in spades. And if we're really going to step into our fullest potential as humans, we need to tune into the intuition and the data and not just disown what our body is saying, what our gut is saying, that gut knowing, yeah? And it leads into healing our connection to the collective shadow, which also informs our individual shadows and ancestry in other lifetimes, because honestly, like, our soul is larger than this vessel in human form, yeah? And so it's expressing in many places and spaces. But if I work on healing and being the fullest potential as human, and this representation of my soul, I can positively impact the places my soul's expressing in other areas.
I see the pebble into the beautiful lake, and it just has this ripple effect.
Right? And then as I do that, there's a vibratory reflection back of, you know, the mastery of that my soul carries can come in and support me. So, yeah, I mean, anyone can learn the work and use it to heal themselves and others. And healing our ancestry is quite potent because of 14 generations backwards and forwards in time, it impacts.
If you think about history of 14 generations, just looking back at what people
how long ago was that
the global history, it's like, oh my God, the trauma that would be embedded in that ancestral line, that would just be part of your makeup.
Yeah, and the lifetimes we get to heal where we were the lesson givers,
yeah,
or we maybe weren't our best selves, and it's still having an imprint on us. Like, that's big work and beautiful work to be able to do.
And it's an opportune time to do it.
Yeah, because the more light each of us holds, the more the collective shifts out of fear and into the love vibratory state. So I would say be curious when you notice fear arising in you or the collective. See if you can slow down and trace your triggers back. Pay attention to how you go to bed at night and how you wake and what practices you're putting in there for yourself.
What are the two other things before we wrap up?
Two other things before we wrap up. Eat food that is in season and whole foods.
Mm, good.
And move your body in a way that brings you great joy, however that looks.
Big applause.
I just went in all these different directions. Yeah. That was fantastic. Wow.
So here's really the invitation for everyone out there listening. Seriously, check out Elizabeth. Go to her website. Go to her website. Get in touch with her. Have a conversation. Get curious about yourself.
Elizabeth, what's your website?
www.elizabethsullivan.love.
Beautiful. Sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure I got that in. Because they're like, go see Elizabeth, and I can see people are like, okay, and there's...
It'll be in the notes of the show.
Oh, yes, right. Brian, you know how much I adore you, man.
Thank
Elizabeth,
you.
You are an absolute light, and thank you for inviting everyone to just be a little bit more conscious of their own self-love so that they can be that for other people. Thank you, everyone, for joining. This is Being Curious. I'm Brian.
I'm Kelly.